بيهندش في الشغل على لا EFS
Disclaimer, I'm not an
regarding deeply intimate Christian social issues. Now, over the course of the next 2 weeks, we're going to be looking very deeply into the both of the departments of justice and correctional services. That's both 24 and 21. What I wanted to start off with is that the budget is not just a technical tool to assign money. It's actually a tool where, or it's a process whereby you make choices about how much you want to allocate different priorities. And often those priorities are competing, particularly within schedules. So we know that we have schedules. This year, the actual budget process is slightly different. All these departments come and they're presenting their budget with their strategic plans and annual performance plans. With the new administration, what they've done is they are presenting strategic plans that are based on annual performance plans that are based on the already existing 2010, 2014 strategic plans. Towards the end of this year, they will have to present revised strategic plans, and then next year we'll be looking at a strategic plan for 2015-16 right through to the end of the term. The other point that I want to make is that this annual performance plans and strategic plans need to be aligned with the national development plan. And it also needs to take into account burden. In terms of aligning with burden, the things with the ABP are the following points are quite important. There's an emphasis on strengthening the criminal justice system. There's also another emphasis on improving rehabilitation and reducing reoffending. There is emphasis on investigation relationships between drugs, alcohol, and violence. There's a great deal of emphasis on strategies to promote accountability and fight corruption in order to build a more capable state. And then there's also a focus on transforming society and uniting the country. In terms of Sona, to pick up on some of these themes, the comment was that the levels of serious crime are still too high. There's a need to address the weaknesses in the procurement, management, and operational systems of government, and focus on improving implementation of the financial disclosure framework, strengthening protection for whistleblowers, and I believe that there should be legislation coming. And also improve providing technical assistance to departments for more effective discipline. Transformation is another issue. The cost of litigation, as we all know, is far too high. And then within the justice system, there are various operational issues as well. Mm-hmm. 9 institutions are your public sector and its office of human rights commission. Now stakeholders are the public, the legal profession, your attorney profession, and also your advocate profession. And young people get to say also paralegals. We have various NGOs and community-based organizations, other government departments which interact with justice. I'm not going to go through all the mandates. I just want to touch on some of the key strategies that have been used in the last 5 years to address some of the challenges. It's been a big focus on your, I use the NDP term, building safer communities. Our conference really talks about something feeling safe and being safe. But that's, the big project in there is your criminal justice review revamp, and IJS, which are integrated justice systems. Those projects are key. I'm sure that Julian will touch on and give more detail around that. In terms of transformation, there's been a great deal of emphasis on legislation, and we passed the Superior Court Act and also a constitutional amendment establishing the Chief Justice as head of the judiciary, and also responsible for developing norms and standards right through the entire judiciary. The administration, of course, will go to the Office of the Chief Justice. It's the Secretary General there who is the county officer. And ultimately, the Office of the Chief Justice will, the intention is that it will have its own vote. At the moment, it's managing, I think, 3 sub-programs. The Constitutional Court sub-program, the SDA, and also the High Court. There's a great deal of focus on combating corruption, and there's various strategies around that, but that's really where your MPA, that's your asset forfeiture unit, your special investigating unit, your anti-corruption task team, they're part of that. And your private sector, those are your key bodies that are looking at corruption. A couple of years ago, we were told that approximately 50 billion rand is lost to the state every year in corruption. So that's a big focus. Environmental groups, I'm never that happy with the term environmental groups. It covers a whole range of groups, but it's women, children. A recent addition has been a focus on your LGBTI community. But the key strategy there has been around the reintroduction of dedicated sexual offence courts. Okay. For an active justice, there have been some specific projects around that. A lot of it's been around building new courts, rebuilding a new high court in Samara, and also in Polokwane. The one in Polokwane is much further along, but there are constant delays in terms of finalizing this project. There's also a project around converting branch courts into full service courts, and also realignment of municipal magisterial boundaries and so on. I'm just going to quickly go through correctional services. Our role players and stakeholders here are the correctional services your department, and then also the judicial inspectors of prisons with the inspecting judge. There are also correctional supervision and parole boards, the National Council for Correctional Services, the Correctional Supervision and Parole Review Board, and the Medical Parole Advisory Board. These do not report to Parliament, they need to report to the Minister. Stakeholders will be your victims, your NGOs, and your CBOs, the private sector, and also communities. situation becomes extremely difficult. And also the other problems around gang-related violence, the problems around maintaining safe custody, which is exacerbated when you have overcrowded prison. Rehabilitation is a very difficult thing. Most of your practice goes towards securing prisoners and not towards rehabilitating. And I think unlisted departures is something like 12 billion out of 19 billion goes to the incarceration program, and rehabilitation gives something like 1 billion, and reintegration, social reintegration, gets about 800,000 grand. So there's quite a big jump there. Then the other big problem seems to be around the actual operations in the department. There seems to be enormous problems around corruption and also just around systems, financial systems and so on. Vacancies, those kinds of problems that need to be dealt with. I'm not going to go into the key strategies, I'm going to get more deal with those. And just to touch on some key issues that I'm concerned. And these are really drawn from, justice are really drawn from the kind of the issues that the previous committee looked at time and time again. The criminal justice system revamp, the IJS, is a key push. There's been a lot of money into it. You'll see there's a sub-program in Program 5 for Justice Modernization, and that's where the IJS, CJS funds reside. The Justice Department is the lead department in terms of that particular project, and really needs focused attention. Child justice itself needs a lot of attention. We passed the Criminal Justice Act, I think it was 2008, and it became operational in 2010. There is an outstanding implementation report that needs to look at, but we know that NGOs are actually picking up problems in the sector with children. For example, they seem to be dwindling numbers of children coming into the system, which may be a good thing, but we don't actually know whether it is a good thing or not. Also, in 2015, we will need to get a report from the Minister on the age of capacity. We dropped the age of capacity, or we increased it to 8, to 10 from 8, 8 to 10. International standards have it quite a bit higher, I think, at 14. So that's something that we would need to have a look at in the future. And we would need to have the data in order to be able to make an informed decision around this. So the collection of data around child justice is very important, and that's right across the country, not just justice, police, justice, and correctional services. Then the reintroduction of dedicated sexual offence courses rolling out over 2014 NTF over the next 3 years, and that needs to be monitored quite carefully. A related issue is that staff and staff officers get quite burnt out dealing with these cases, so we need to make sure that there are interventions in place to deal with those kinds of problems. TRT, there are some regulations that still are outstanding. Most of the beneficiaries have been paid off, there are a few that haven't. But regulations need to be passed. And then I think the community rehabilitation regulations are, that's being run with. So we need to see how that is unfolding. Transformation of state legal services is a new one. The state actually is an enormous consumer of legal services. And there were lots of questions around briefing patterns. How many briefs went to previously disadvantaged attorneys and advocates? How many briefs went to women? That's another issue. And then more recently we passed a bill that sets up, well, that introduced a person called the Solicitor General, and that person is named Stephen Reed. infrastructure project of Burgle Otis, in particular, the two high courts. But we also have the South Kaohsiung High Court, which is one of the biggest courts in the country, and there are refurbishments and renovations happening there, and it's been going on for a very long time. We're also very going to go upstairs, problems within the running of that court of material. I just want to pick up in terms of spending. There's an enormous budget for infrastructure, something like $1 billion a year, and the department has nothing else to spend its budget. It's spent in far next, far below what it could, and that's after money has been shifted into other places. So what has happened over the NGF is that they've been given permission to reprioritize those funds elsewhere for other projects. But one of the key problems is the relationship with DPW. And if you, I mean, if I speak to my colleagues, they will say whenever there's a building or any kind of issue, it's about the relationship with DPW. But I think that it would be quite interesting to look into, to actually dig a bit deeper and see what actually are the problems and start trying to come up with some recommendations around those problems. And that might need money to transfer with the Portfolio Committee on and public work. The information regulator is around the protection of personal information and also in terms of Parliament to Access the Information Act. The information regulator is going to be set up and we need to see what funds are available for that, how that is progressing. In terms of PIA, there's issues around really impact quite strongly on the Human Rights Commission, who has to compile Section 32 reports. That's in terms of when departments get requests for information, whether departments comply with it. And it's very, very, very difficult to get this information, and we know that within government departments, often it's the problem of mutual people. People just don't get the funds, and they get stuck, but they don't know where to take it in the first place. The Master's Office and Guardian Fund, they've seen enormous developments in terms of making those systems much more user-friendly. There's a lot of big IT projects around that. But the Guardian Fund is quite a big problem in terms of accessibility of those funds, of those offices. They, I think there are only 6 offices around the country, and you know, some of them are not even located in major urban centers. So if you have children, if you are beneficiaries of these estates, then it's, and they don't live near urban centers, it becomes quite difficult for them to actually those services. In terms of correctional services, just quickly run through those again, I'm not going to go into any detail. Also, this is the SD ramp, IJS. Correctional services is almost like the end of the chain. So they really haven't, from my understanding, they really haven't started in terms of the IT around this project. They've got a qualified audit opinion with matters of emphasis, with a big focus on fraud and corruption, populations, fraud and corruption. Then vacancies is the issue, the lack of focus or understanding of rehabilitation and provisional services. Remand detention, this is meant to have a dedicated focus, need to be monitored. There's actually a paper on that, and that's also the unfolding of that needs to be monitored. Children and women also need to be monitored, and also the education of children. There are problems, I think, against their sentence, but there's a problem around children who are waiting trial. And they can actually be in a waiting trial for quite a long time, and they don't get education. Initiatives to address the overcrowding, there's complaints, the judicial inspectors said that there's been an increase in complaints. There's some custody, there's sometimes delays in taking the reports from forensic reports that delay an investigation. And it's uprisings and gangs to report. Thank you.
Thank you. lead some sample bullets to help us, because I'm informed that there's so much to read. So such sample bullets could assist the members when they present. Managing of documents is just as difficult as reading documents.
Chair, thank you. We've got a lot of reading work that is helpful for my discussion. The idea is for us to prepare that, so that when the minister and the department and the various entities report to us, that we'll be able to engage with them. I think that Christine has pointed out the biggest challenge is the infrastructure spending, which is contained in some of the documentation that we've received, in particular the document expenditure during 2013-2014. And I would suggest that at some stage it would be helpful to meet with the portfolio committee on public works to understand what are the challenges there that have resulted in underspending of the department's capex. Chair, I think the issue to me that is of great concern is that we, as the previous committee, engaged in a budget review process. You'll remember, Chair, you were part of that. And we made certain recommendations to National Treasury. Now, in the past, we were successful in persuading National Treasury to increase the budget in certain items for the department. By reading of the present budget, assist me if I'm incorrect, but is that not 1 cent of what we requested for the Department of Justice was allocated? And I think, Chair, that as we are aware of our power and our terms of the Monetary Amendment Act, that it is an issue that we as a committee need to take up going forward, that when we make compelling financial arguments to National Treasury and those arguments are not supported, we need to follow up, because obviously we understand the financial constraints that generally Treasury is operating under, but we also, as Parliament, have got certain arguments in terms of money to amend on that, and that we need to pursue that way, and we need to require compelling leaders where finance do not approve given 1 cent of what we have suggested. And then, of course, as we know, the next process is then to engage with the appropriations and finance. So, Chair, those are just two general issues that I'd like to just place on the table. We don't need to discuss and I'll finalise that now. But that's just concerns by us that this committee goes forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. You want to respond to your own?
I was also very surprised when we got the response from the Minister of Finance on the beach of R, because normally there is something that's allocated to justice, and there was absolutely nothing. It wasn't mentioned, there was nothing. And I followed up with National Treasury, and they didn't really give me a very detailed response. So what I did pick up, when I looked at expenditure, the problem is that
experienced any serious delay, and budget overrun. So that's what started off as a project of, say, 300 million rand became a project of 1 billion rand. Owing to protracted delays. I was reading the documentation that there was a problem with the construction of the high school in Polokwane, that the contractor needed to replace, which always comes with its own difficulty. So, but I mean, that notwithstanding, I mean, according to the report that we have before us, they managed to spend about 96% of the budget on capital works, according to this document, and that's not bad when you consider what the industry standard is for creation services. Well, that's it needs unpacking. But I'd just like to raise another issue, and that is in terms of the entity to which report to this committee, and they were raised in part in the documents that were given to us. The first is that the state law advisors, I imagine, fall under the Department of Justice constitutional authority. They don't feature as an entity that seems to report to us. And I'd like to know what their status is and whether they do come and account. And the second is that there's been a debate, I think, from as long as we negotiated the Constitution around the position of other Chapter 9 institutions and their place vis-à-vis Chapter 9 institutions to do more or less the same work. And in particular, one thinks of the work that the Human Rights Commission does as opposed to the Commission for Gender Equality. The Commission for Gender Equality is more specialised, more focused as a commission. But when you're dealing particularly with vulnerable groupings, access to justice, and matters like that, it would seem to me anomalous that a body as important as that dealing with these sorts of issues does not seem to appoint a report to another committee altogether in the past. And I assume that they're going to be dealing with women in prison. But I'd just like some institutional knowledge from people who've been here longer about why that is or what the debate is going about.
Would like to have like a clear picture
of the distribution of prisons throughout the country. And that's whether the distribution does address the need, how many prisons do we have in the province, the population that relates to statistics. This is something that is very important. And it's indicated that with too much traffic goes to customers involved in rehabilitation. I was interested to know the relationship with the social development. I do understand that micro does play a role, but beyond micro, because micro is like an NGO that the government funded. And when it comes to FIA, you mentioned that the something like the South African Human Rights Commission continue to receive reports. I think in terms of the Tasman Protection of Tasman Information Act, the competency has been taken. It hasn't been taken away from us. That is actually also further on the question around the information regulator as to how far we are in terms of establishing the process.
I think the integrity of the law depends on the subject. We can't fit with a report like the ASMAF report, which has not stated in Parliament, but some aspects of it are being implemented. So I think we need to prioritize that report, deal with it, and know
it, I think, around transformation especially, but it is much wider than that. Actually, transformation of the entire legal system. It's about looking at how consumers, looking at the legal professions. It's about what kind of, asking the questions, what kind of judges do we want? What kind of attorneys do we want? What specialty community service oriented community oriented? Those are the kind of questions you raise that would be really helpful to you.
Another thing that I meant to mention is we need to appreciate still lives after people who spend a lot of their time living with a good time, doing things that are not right. So we can no longer proceed with the things that we're calling in fact. So the issue of transformation, I think, is a message must be addressed. Another message is the issue of the priest. A lot of priests in the city attain and so on are still going to be the previous year of the city. Let's say that we are suffering from the inclusion when they say that I so we need to get an exact number. How many priests we are taking away from the city? And how many are women? How many are the youth? So that we are able to make a progressive realization of what we call the better life for everyone in particular respect. And we spoke about the issue of overcrowding. Overcrowding does take place into four. The other one is when the accused are still in the police station. The other one is in the prison process. So I think we need some sort of a change. But again, in that sector, a lot of things that are happening are still true that are happening for the apartheid itself. Because during the apartheid, when you get arrested, you are told who was going to kill. But the law has since changed by the nature. The reason why we arrest the person is just to secure his attendance in court. This therefore means that if you know where the right that I live in healthcare, why do you need to put him into the cell, sometimes denying me pay? Because you know where I stay. If I don't come to court, you may have to just go to where or where I work. I'm found in the department, but you take me to the bed on Friday. I must eat the man of the stage from Friday until Monday, which means that the people, the acting officers, and the prosecution itself is still trapped in that mentality of arresting people because it doesn't cause pain to them. So I think we need to look at particularly when we interrogate the document on transformation because we need to radically transform this sector. I think we can come out to the point.
From time to time, on corruption, but it doesn't come out clear where this corruption lies. Is it within the department, within the sector, and what measures are being taken to take care of them?
Thank you. My concern is on collection of services primarily. If we agree that it is more imprisonment than rehabilitation, and against the background that we are one of the highest sentences in countries, I think post 94 we adopted the US model, which criminology argues has never worked anyway. In fact, it's the reason that it's called the prison population. My concern is that the danger with that is that it fast becomes an industry. You might as well call it the prison industry. Now, I would like us to conduct research in terms of what the state position is, because privatization of prison against the backdrop of just imprisonment and not rehabilitation makes this the standard of living. So the rich get richer and the poor get more imprisoned. But my first concern. My other one is on what we call state lawyers. I call the state lawyers for lack of a better way. I would just like to know what's the law that bans them from having a kind of practice. Because these things are talked about and sitting at this level, I would want to get a proper perspective. Because it stands to reason that if I am a state lawyer and I have a private practice and I'm defending two people accused of murder, I'm going to give more attention to the one that pays me per hour. When I write a letter, I get payment. The other one, I just get a flat payment every month. Whether I win that case or don't win the case. So those are my major concerns, because it then has a serious implication of equality before the law.
Another question? Thanks, Jay. I thought I'll touch on two of the issues that were raised by Linda. The first one around correctional services being a prison as opposed to correctional services, I think it's not as simple as what I'm saying. This department has 41,000 employees, and most of those are personnel costs. Now clearly you find that most of the personnel work as, for want of a better word, as opposed to doctors and so on. So that's why you find, and I'm not for 1 minute suggesting that you're correct, we've argued that many years yourself, but I think it's not as simple as just money for building business. It's the personnel cost and where those personnel are situated. But I do think there's an opportunity, and Mr. Carroll will be the answer, or he'll probably you can't argue for an efficient judiciary or police and think it's not going to have an impact on correctional services. The more you arrest, the more lawyers and or judges and magistrates refuse to adopt an alternate sentence as opposed to this minimum sentence of theirs. You're going to have this impact. So in a way we should take advantage of this, because I've been, when I say I say correctional services, I've tried for many years to try and ask judges to refrain from incarceration as far as possible. And they would argue that there's a minimum sentence law that says I must arrest somebody for 15 years or whatever the case might be. So I think there's an opportunity here for us to look at the entire criminal justice, including the police, because police, and I speak on discretion, but there was a time where they were being measured by how many arrests they make and not how many convictions. So I think that we are all one family now, with a system in seriously transforming these guys. I thought I would raise that, and I'm sure the content advisor probably wouldn't have all that type of information. The poor probably had that information. Finally, I did share that the question that arises is a decision. Probably would face the answer by the department when they come and appear before us, because these are the kinds of things we've been asking for a long time, and amongst ourselves I think there's agreement that it's within the department that it seems to be reluctant for.
Thank you, Honourable Members. I'm happy that we seem to agree that it's not just the judiciary that is to be transformed, but the entire legal system. Because in that regard, if you look at the whole question of justice, there's no system of justice that came from the start. This thing started as a community feeling of what is justice and evolving rules from that. That's why in the Roman Dutch law, it was not made by any legislation. You have English common law, it didn't come from any legislation. But when we come to Africa, we talk about customary law. Why is customary law not having the same status as Roman Dutch law and English common law? This is another question. And also, if you look what happened in Zimbabwe and Mozambique, during the wars of liberation, a new legal who happened to be the majority, we went to Canada to take an alternative dispute resolution system from Canada, disregarding what the people themselves feel. And as a result, you find that the legitimacy of the legal system gets questionable because it does not take into account what the people themselves think about the law. So I'm happy that if we say we need to transform the legal system itself, then we'll have an opportunity to look at this question. Now, lastly, you see, if we put manifest, I don't think we'll do much. For instance, we say Negro has no money, and therefore we are saying we don't have the capacity to rehabilitate. But we have this faith-based organization. Today we even have an organization called National Interfaith Council of South Africa. The faith-based organizations meet every Sunday. Instead, they change money from you. Then they can use that opportunity to do rehabilitation work, because anyway, they don't need any budget. The budget comes from the church. Maybe we need to engage these institutions and say, what contribution can you make in the rehabilitation area, other than placing everything on state budget? It's kind of working in the fundamental analysis. So I'm happy that already there's some direction that we should be going. Thank you.
I have questions around this.
intended to summarize and flag issues raised in the document which has been presented to the members, someone has said that. So this is just a summary of that particular detailed document that has been submitted to members. And the presentation will touch on three key areas, namely the National Development Plan, budget of DCS, and the annual treatment plan of 2014-15. Chairperson, just a brief overview of this Department of Correctional Services. There are 243 correctional facilities, of which 26 are dedicated remand detention facilities. The daily average inmate population is 155,836. That includes both sentence and remand. And for your remand detention, we've got 44,652 inmates. There are 63,000 offenders which are under community corrections. Those who are serving supervision, parole, and so on and so forth. The rate of overcrowding as of 30 September 2013 was 30%. Number of posts in DCS, 43,862, of which 42,067 were filled or are filled. And the vacancy rate stands at 4.1%. Chairperson, there are currently five programs, budget programs in the Department of Correctional Services, which I'll speak to in detail when talking to the budget. Looking at the National Development Plan, chapters 12 of the NDP is particularly relevant to correctional services as it deals with building safer communities. And a number of key priority areas are highlighted as a roadmap to achieve the vision of NDP. Among those, we speak about strengthening the criminal justice system. And the plan recommends more coherent implementation and reporting of the 7-point plan. And specific action should include the immediate alignment of all strategic plans in the justice crime prevention and security cluster with a 7-point plan. Also, the project manager appointed to the Office of the Criminal Justice System Reform to coordinate the 7-point plan activities and programs to ensure that the JCTS department implements the 7-point plan in sync. Also mentioned in the NDP that there should be dedicated budget for each relevant department. Should be established and outcome reported in relation to the 7-point plan. So the budget should also speak to the 7-point plan. So we look at whether this particular budget does it speak to those, and if not, maybe these are some of the questions that we need to ask the department tomorrow as to whether this particular budget does it reflect the needs and recommendations of the NDP. And also annual evaluation of implementation of the 7-point plan with assessment against overarching objectives. Chapter 10, another key area relevant to correctional services is building safety using an integrated approach. And among the recommendations relevant to correctional services are protection of vulnerable groups and improving rehabilitation and reducing recidivism. In terms of improving rehabilitation and reducing recidivism, recommendations include increased substance abuse treatment during imprisonment, increased education, training, and skills programs within correctional centers. Community organizations should be capacitated to assist with integration after release. I think that this is what you've been speaking about, so that you've got our faith-based organizations and so on and so forth. So we need to ensure that those organizations are capacitated to also assist the government in terms of the reintegration of offenders back to the community.
for the NGPT, this number needs to be reduced. And also priority should be given to youth in prison, particularly in terms of restorative justice and diversion. Looking at the budget in context, correctional services has been allocated 19.7 billion percent, which is 13.2% of the plus allocation. If you look at the slide, you could see how much each department within the plus has been allocated and how much has been, what is the percentage of the department in terms of the plus allocation. I'm not going to deal much with that. I'll just move to the next slide. As indicated, DCS received 19.7 billion, which constitutes 3.1% of the total national budget. The DCS budget has been increased by 972.6 million if you compare it with the allocation of 2013-14, which is 5.19% nominal increase. And a total of 13 billion has been channeled towards compensation of employees, that 57% of 19 billion is channeled towards compensation of employees. I think that's what the Honorable Smith has been talking about, that the budget for the department is more on employees. I think we are also informed that DCS activities are more labor intensive. Hence, the budget is more channeled towards the employees than anything else. Next slide. And we've seen that a total of 605 million has been earmarked for upgrading, rehabilitation, and refurbishment of correctional and other facilities. A total of 200 million earmarked for repair and maintenance of correctional facilities. A total of 286 million for 2014-15, 255 million the following financial year, 460 million in 2016-17 earmarked for large infrastructure projects, including the upgrading of 16 correctional facilities and creation of 4,748 additional bed spaces over the medium term. Looking at program one, which is administration, this program represents provides administrative support and strategic leadership to the department. And in terms of allocation of this particular budget, this program has been allocated 3.6 billion, of which the previous financial year was allocated 3.7 billion. So we could see that there has been a decrease in terms of allocation for this particular program if you compare it with the allocation for the previous financial year. The decrease is of 3%. And Chairperson, this is the second largest program in terms of budget allocation for the Department of Correctional Services, and it takes 18% of the budget. If you look at the previous financial year, it took 28% of the DCS budget. And the bulk of the budget for this particular program, administration, is allocated to compensation of employees, goods and services, professionalizing the department, and building capacity in corporate services and management staff programs. If we look at the spending trend over the year, administration has seen a positive increase in spending over the past two financial years, from 97% spending in 2012-18 to 97.7% in the previous financial year. And among other reasons for underspending in those financial years include delays in filling of vacancies, under compensation of employees, and the delay in the procurement of the establishment of cabling and local area network equipment for the 6-month contract, which was not approved by the CTA recommendation committee with no presence provided. Second, the issue of vacancies has always been an issue. current financial year the money has not been used, or it's been used for something else instead of filling those particular. And each and every year we see that there will be vacancies. Then you ask yourself, what happened with those funds? Because those funds were supposed to fill those vacancies. But if we check on the annual report each and every year, we see that there will always be vacancies which have not been filled. And obviously, there will be a number of reasons provided by the department why those vacancies are not filled. Sometimes they'll tell you about it takes time to fill those vacancies. And also the issues of scarce skills, they cannot get the certain professions, and so on and so forth. But those are some of the issues that we'll deal with at length as a result. Captain, if you look at the target for this financial year, and also looking at the trend in terms of those particular targets and their indicators, for instance, under administration, just few targets that have highlighted workplace skills plan. The department is intending to train 16,500 officials on the workplace skills plan for this current financial year. And if you look at the 2013-14 financial year, they were meant to train 15,000 officials, but because we don't have the annual report yet for the previous financial year, so we cannot be able to measure whether they managed to achieve that particular target or not. But if you look at the 2012-18 financial year, the department said they were going to train 14,100 officials, and that particular target was exceeded because 17,662 officials were trained. In terms of filling of vacancies, for this current financial year, the department said they want to fill 98% of the post in their establishment. And if you look at the previous financial year, they said they were going to fill 98%. At this stage, we are not sure because the annual report is not there. But for the 2012-13 financial year, they said they were going to fill 97% of posts. Only 95.8% vacancies were filled, so they could not achieve that particular the target that they set for themselves. Just some of the comments and questions, because I think Chapter that I need to indicate that the presentation is to capacitate the members, so that when the department comes tomorrow, you'll be able to engage with their presentation. And also, I've raised some of the questions that the members could use to raise to the department, and some of the concerns that I've noted from this particular budget. The NDP believes that each department in the justice cluster should have a dedicated budget for implementation of the 7-point plan. So the department should indicate if whether a budget has been allocated for the 7-point plan. If yes, how much has been allocated? If no, why not? The department should also ensure that the budget is aligned with the priorities or the recommendations stipulated in the National Development Plan. The department also should ensure that they report on the progress on all these issues in subsequent annual reports. So we expect that in the next annual report, the department should be able to report on the progress in terms of their objectives as it relates to the National Development Plan. I think, Chairman, that the committee should also inquire from the department to what extent their strategic plan is aligned to the 7-point plan as outlined in the NDP. I think the high vacancy rate, Chairman, continues to be a challenge as indicated and should be addressed as a matter of agency. DTL should provide the committee with a detailed plan, including the template on how the targets to improve the vacancy rate will be achieved for this current financial year. The other issue of concern is the vetting of officials. This issue has been raised in the number of State of the Nation address by the President. And I remember in the previous State of the Nation address, the President emphasized that only the challenge for correctional services, but a number of departments in terms of vetting, because there's no capacity, so the departments are encouraged to do their own vetting. So there's still that process of training officials and so on, and so that departments could start doing their own vetting in their own department. The next program, Chairperson, is program 2, which is incarceration, where most of the budget goes to or went to. This particular program, Chairperson, deals with security operations, facility, remand detention, and offender management. We've seen that this particular program has been allocated 12.3 billion. And if you look at the previous financial year, it was allocated 11.5 billion. And this is an increase of 6.70% as compared to the previous financial year. And this, as indicated earlier on, this is the largest allocated program in terms of the budget. And it takes 62% of the budget goes to this particular program. Spending over the medium term will reach 13.7 billion in 2016-17, and this is as a result of spending on compensation of employees, which is expected to grow to 9.5 billion due to additional allocation for improved conditional stock services, your salary negotiations, and so on and so forth. And spending will also focus on upgrading of 16 facilities, which will increase the total bed space by 4,748 in 2016-17. I think also, Chair, just to take a pause on this one, the previous committee has also experienced challenges with the department regarding creation of bed space. I remember also the number of facilities in the Western Cape, Zurich, Van Rensdorf, and the other one, I just forgot the third one, Franklin. There has been a delay in terms of finalizing those particular facilities. And as a result, the department will then, therefore, not be able to meet their target in terms of creating those buildings. I think as a committee, we need to monitor progress in terms of building of those facilities and check as to whether the department will be able to achieve their target in terms of creating those 4,748 bed space by 2016-17. Spending trends in terms of incarceration, between 2011 and 12 and 2016-18, there was a positive improvement in expenditure trends, particularly for the program. But if you look at 2011-12, under expenditure was 5%, while in 2012-18, under expenditure was 0.2%. For 2013-14, this program experienced overspending by 1%. So I looked at the fourth quarter expenditure. I could see that the department has already overspent their budget by 1% for that particular program. Looking at the target for this financial year under incarceration, in terms of assault for 2014-15, it should be less than 4.1%. The previous financial year it was 2%. In 2012-18, it was 2.2%. But that particular target was not achieved because the rate of assault were 4.5%. So there were many assaults in correctional facilities in 2012-18. So we are not sure in terms of 2013-14 because the annual report is not yet available. So that whether we'll be able to gauge whether if the department managed to achieve their objective or at all in that particular financial year. I'm not going to go through all of them. Unnatural death, escape, increase of number of bed space, I spoke about it. And they also intend to reduce overcrowding to under 29%. And then if you look at 2012-18, they managed to achieve that particular target and exceeded it by 3.52%. Some of the comments and questions for this particular program, Chairperson, I think the department should provide the committee with an update on the electronic inmate tracking system to monitor movement of offenders within correctional centers, as well as progress on the implementation of the electronic monitoring system for parolees and probationers. And the department should also provide a committee with a number of schools upgraded and those constructed in the 2013-14 financial year. The next program is program 3, which is rehabilitation. This particular program provides offenders with needs-based programs and interventions to facilitate rehabilitation and enable their social reintegration. The White Paper on Corrections 2005 says rehabilitation should be at the center of developmental activity. But if you look at the budget, we then therefore ask ourselves that this is rehabilitation at the center of developmental activity, or whether security is at the center of developmental activity. I think just to touch on that particular aspect, President, in last year, the Portfolio Committee on Correctional Services, in their budget study review and recommendation report, these are some of the issues that they raised and they submitted to National Treasury. And some of the recommendations from the Portfolio Committee on Correctional Services include the issue of more budget should be allocated to incarceration instead of rehabilitation. That's one of the recommendations from the Portfolio Committee on Correctional Services. And also, the Department of Correctional Services budget allocation must be, in fact, the recommendation was the Department of Correctional Services budget allocation must be aligned with rehabilitation objectives. That's the recommendation. And another recommendation was that the department must consider an increased target for development, intervention, and make increasing allocation to its care, rehabilitation, and social integration programs. Therefore, the National Treasury, in their response, they said they fully agree or support the recommendation or recommendations of the Portfolio Committee on Correctional Services, and they said they will continue to urge the department to prioritize funds over the medium term for those particular programs. However, that's what the National Treasury responds to. However, the rehabilitation and social reintegration objectives can only be met once security objectives have been met. So it means National Treasury is saying they need to put more emphasis on meeting the objectives of security before addressing those issues of rehabilitation and social integration. Under this program, this particular program has been allocated 1.1 billion. Which is an increase, if you compare it with the previous financial year, it's an increase of only 8.2%. And this is the second lowest program in terms of allocation. And it only takes 6% of the allocated budget of the Department of Correctional Services. And in terms of spending, over the medium term, it will reach 1.3 billion in 2016-17. And this will be used, amongst other things, to increase the number of offenders taking part in skills training and better education and training colleges programs from the projected 6,863 in 2014-15 to 8,203 in 2016-17. In terms of spending trends under this program, we've seen that spending under this program is actually regressing, not moving forward. Because if you look at 2011-12, this program managed to spend spending in the first quarter of the previous financial year under the rehabilitation program. In terms of their target chairperson for the 2014-15 financial year, the department intends to increase the percentage of offenders participating in adult education and training to 80%. If you look at the previous financial year, they said 28.7%. In 2012-13, they said 64%, but that particular target was not achieved. In 2012-13, there was only 56.8% offenders participated in that particular program. And then also to increase the percentage of offenders involved in further education and training to 80%, also increase the percentage of offenders involved in FET college program to 80%. Next slide. In terms of comments and questions, I think there's a huge decrease in the number of eligible offenders who can participate in FET mainstream education program from 89,566 in 2013-14 to only 622 in 2014-15, which is shocking. I think the department should explain to the committee this drastic reduction in terms of the target for offenders in FET mainstream education. Because the State of the Nation address emphasized that education should be prioritized. And as part of rehabilitation, education is key for offenders. So if we reduce the number of eligible offenders, obviously, therefore, it means recidivism will be hard. So we are saying correctional facilities should be centers where offenders are being rehabilitated, not at the warehouse to incarcerate offenders, but it should be centers of excellence to rehabilitate offenders. Because, as I indicated earlier on, the white paper on correction puts rehabilitation at the center of developmental activity. But the but I think Chairperson, the budget allocation does not seem to do the thing, to put rehabilitation at the center of developmental activity. And I think more funds should be channeled towards this program, particularly also to attract and retain professionals such as social workers, psychologists, artisans, and teachers. Because in most of the facilities that we visited, offenders are not working on workshops, and some of the reasons provided by the department is that there's no enough assistance to provide training to offenders. And other reasons include the fact that some of the offenders are not eligible to work because of the security certification. But for instance, if you are a maximum, you cannot be allowed to work in the farm and so on and so forth. Only certain category could be allowed to work. But I think also another challenge has been the introduction of the new shift system, the 2x12 shift system, whereby at a particular shift there's not enough officials to do guard duties for offenders. So that on its own also contributes to reduction in terms of the number of offenders who can participate in work activity. So I think those are some of the challenges that we've been experiencing when we visit a number of prisons around the country. The NDP also states that the substance abuse treatment must be increased in correctional facilities. I think as a committee, we need to ask the department what steps are they taking to give effect to this particular recommendation of the NDP? Have they increased their target in terms of offenders participating in this program? And also the NDP also called for the prioritization of youth, particularly in prison. The department, I think, needs to indicate what steps will the department be taking to ensure that this group of offenders, particularly the youth, are targeted for all programs to ensure rehabilitation and reduce recidivism, so that when they come out of the prison or correctional facilities, they are productive members of the community. Also, DPS should be requested to update the committee about the progress in establishing the trading entity. Also, DCS should be requested to update the committee with the progress in terms of the number of centers which are registered as full-time schools. Next program, Chapter 10, Program 4, is the care program. This particular program deals with the care services aimed at maintaining personal well-being of all inmates in DCS custody, your health, food, and so on and so forth. And in terms of the allocation on this particular budget, we've seen that 1.7 billion has been allocated to care programs. If you compare it with the allocation for the previous financial year, this is an increase of 8%. And care program only takes 8.8% of the total budget of DCS. Just to pause the issue, then in the annual report, the Judicial Inspectorate of Professional Facilities or Services, they noted or recorded in terms of complaints from offenders, 34,000 complaints related to healthcare in facilities, complaints from offenders, whether they are not getting medication, they don't get to visit the doctor, you know, the various complaints related to healthcare. In the 2012-13 financial year, Judicial Inspectorate recorded 34,000 such complaints. Spending focus over the medium term will be on providing healthcare services to inmates in order to improve the treatment provided for HIV and AIDS, tuberculosis, and sexually transmitted infection, as well as to promote personal hygiene services. If you look at the spending trend for this particular program, spending under this program has not been consistent over the years. But if you look at the 2012-13 financial year, this program managed to spend 100% of its allocation. However, in 2012-13, expenditure under this program was only 96.8%. And again, in the first quarter of the 2013-14 financial year, this program managed to spend more than what had been allocated by spending 111.2% of the budget, which translates to overspending of 11.2% for that particular project. If you look at the target for care program for 2014-15, the department intends to increase the percentage of inmates tested for HIV to 70%. This target, if you look at 2012-18, the target was 45% and it was achieved. It tested 50% of offenders. They also intend to increase the percentage of HIV positive inmates who are on antiretroviral therapy to 95%. If you look at 2012-18, the target was 51% and this target was achieved. They also intend to increase the percentage of inmates who are on TB treatment to 80%. If you look at the 2012-18, the target was 9%, and this target was not achieved because only 5.63% offenders were achieved. In terms of comments and questions under this particular program, I think the department should provide the committee with their pledge on the retention and attraction of care skills like the healthcare workers, your pharmacists, your psychologists, and social workers. How is the department going to make sure that ultimately they retain these care skills and also they attract these people to work at professional services, to provide offenders with those kind of services? I think the committee should also inquire from the department as to what are the major causes of overspending under this program in the first quarter of 2013-14. The spending pattern of this program is a cause for concern, and the committee should continuously monitor spending of this particular program, which is care program. Next program, which is the last program, is social reintegration. this program provides services focused on offenders' preparation for release, the effective supervision of offenders placed under systems of community correction, and the facilitation of their social integration. So it speaks more on those who are going out for parole, those who are on parole, those who are in correctional supervision, probationers, and so on and so forth, and you are parole board. This program, Shepperton, has been allocated only 886 million. This is an increase compared with the previous financial year. It's an increase of only 10% as compared to 2013-14. And this particular program only takes 4.5% of the total DCS budget for this financial year. And over the medium term, spending focus will be on the rollout of the electronic monitoring, which will cater for the increase of people placed under electronic monitoring from 150 in 2013-14 to 1,000 in 2016-17. So I think if this particular project, the electronic monitoring, is in use effectively, it will assist to alleviate problems like overcrowding. If we have more people under community supervision using electronic monitoring. I think that's to have a pause there, Shepperton. When the Honorable Smith spoke about the issue of minimum sentencing, some of the issues raised, particularly from your judicial officer, has been the issue of not having faith in the department's ability to monitor people under community correction. So hence, more people are not sentenced to community correction. So there's been also those particular concerns from judicial officers to say that the department can effectively monitor people under community correction. So I think that's why they are more inclined to send people to correctional facilities than to community correction. I think the sooner the department address issues under community correction, particularly monitoring of those who are under community correction. But I think some of the recommendations and submissions from stakeholders has been the issue of the department should not only, in terms of community correction, they should not only serve as policing, to police those particular offenders, but there should be also programs in the community to assist those offenders. Because if you just release them to the community and, there are no follow-up programs, obviously they are going to receive for failure. Because as much as people who are in inter-correctional facilities are getting programs, substance abuse programs, rehabilitation, I believe also those who are released on the community, the department's role should not only be limited to going to check these people and find, but there should be also other programs to assist these individuals who are outside to be able to adapt to life outside the correctional facility. Because some of the challenges is that some of these people spend a lot of time in correctional facility. So the only thing that they know or they are inclined to, things that they've been accustomed to in prison, rules and regulations and so on and so forth. So now, this is another adjustment. Somebody has been incarcerated for 20 years. Coming outside now, so I think the department needs to put more emphasis on community correction, spending program, and under this program, has not been stable also over the years, because if you look at 2012-13, the spending under this program was 100%, but in 2012-13, the expenditure went down to 90%, and in the first quarter of 2018-14, expenditure amounted to 93.5%. If you look at the target set by the department for this program, integration, among other things, they want to increase the percentage of probationers without violation to 80%. There's no historical information in terms of this, so we're not able to measure whether they managed to achieve or not. But also they intend to increase the number of victims and offenders who participate in victim or in restorative justice, and also to increase the percentage of people of parole without violation to 80%, and also parole reintegrated to 80%. I think that was my last slide. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think I just want a comment or sell up for one speaker. We should also, I think, demand progress in terms of measures that are taken for staff itself. I mean, it's an open secret that DCF staff is falling in love with prison. There's a lot of steps that take place in prison. That should not be taking place. I'm sorry. If I am employed to be your other and I fall in love with you, virtually means you are not in prison. You have a free for all. You can do what you want to do because I'm protecting you. And then I also want us to demand, I'm not sure if the department should answer, maybe it's an issue we should hand over to the minister. South Africa has not migrated in terms of using criminality professionals. Whenever we talk of professional staff in prisons, we talk of psychologists and social workers. Criminology is a specialized field, and a lot of them are just involved in research and education institutions. They are not used in this area in which they are qualified, and I think they intend.
We have a problem of moral degeneration. I think those people who fall in love are morally degenerate. So, and we have a national moral degeneration problem. The question is it achieved or not? So we need to look into this. Honorable Result.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for that very sensitive briefing. There are a number of issues that are outstanding in the budget that I'm not certain on creation to. Obviously, the biggest issue is always that comes up in all the debates, overcrowding, overcrowding, overcrowding. How one addresses that, does one look at the centers? I always maintain, let's look at the awaiting trial prison, many of whom are innocent. And I think we've got almost 28% already remaining remand detainers awaiting trial prison in detention. And I think that is an issue we need to continually take up, because one of the benefits now of justice and correctional services that we can jointly look at where the problem is. Up to now, correctional services is blame justice blames correctional services, or speech. So now we can jointly look at this issue and say, how are we addressing the issue of awaiting trial prison? NPA, magistrates will continue postponing that. Where is the problem? And why does it cost? I think it's 9,000 a month, that's 300 grand a day for a prisoner who maybe cannot afford bail. That's been coming out for 20 years. So bail, Mr. Smith, honorable Smith, you know, bail sometimes is set at 100 grand or something. It costs 300 grand to keep a person in prison. So there are provisions in legislation. There are provisions that one can, and we need to start looking at those provisions to addressing the issue of awaiting trial prisoners and bail. And just one last comment, and that is, we are all in silos that need to start working together. Right from the police point, we know police have a target, they've got to arrest so many people. That puts pressure on the prosecutors. Yeah. The prosecutors will withdraw most of the cases that need to bring. But then those people are awaiting trial in prison. Again, either in detail or again, you've got that problem. And it gets to the NPA that wants to prosecute. You've got magistrates that might not be there, or the defense counsel might be there. Then they sentence the person, then it gets pressure. So it's all linked. But up to now, we've been operating in different silos without speaking to each other. Although there's an integrated criminal justice system, at a national level, it's not operating down at the ground. And I think these are some issues that we as a committee in the next 5 years can start looking at integrating our approach. We must have joint meetings with the other portfolio committees. At least now, the justice and correctional services is a step in the right direction.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think that you will see that over time, generally speaking, remand detention trends have gone downwards. So I think, you know, with case management committees and the like, there is a significant reduction in the number of remand detainees. But the population is still getting very high. And one person once said to me that the best way of rehabilitating an offender is never sending that person to prison. And alternatively, if you look at it in another way, that statistically there is a better chance of somebody emerging more criminalized from prison than when they were in the first place. So what you're doing is you're effectively creating the condition for further criminalization of people. And apart from addressing the rehabilitation, you're actually exacerbating criminality at the moment. And that's why I support the idea of a holistic, transformatory view about what we use imprisonment for. And really, I think there's obviously a place for incarceration of sociopaths, of serious offenders, of violent people, of people who don't belong in society. But there is a tendency by judicial officers to resort to imprisonment as the sentence of first option, for all the reasons that St. Paul outlined. And the moment you do that, you then just going to increase the army of criminals on our streets on a progressive way. So what we need to do, I think, or one of the things that we need to do, is we need to look very, very carefully at whether we can craft a series of disagreeable community-based sentences involving technology like the tracking devices and so on, whereby offenders, particularly young offenders, first-time offenders, and non-violent offenders, can do community service rather than being put in a prison. That way they keep their jobs, they hold their families together, they contribute back in a very physical sense to society rather than just being stuck away in a factory or a university for your real time. And then that would hopefully have some effect on the overcrowding, and then you could get involved in some real rehabilitation and effective rehabilitation programs inside the centers for those people who need it. And included in that would be another theme that we were very keen on, and that is that prisons work where prisoners work. That every single prisoner should actually either work or study or both for a normal working day, and that you don't get the situation where the prisoners talk about yes and bed. They go and eat, and then they go and lie down. And then they go and eat, and then they go and lie down. Because that's when the gangs get out of control, and that's when the gangs start corrupting people still further. And I mean, it's not love in prison. That's the deeply abusive behavior that happens.
Thank you. I'm not a prisoner.
Thank you. I just need to kind of use the discussion of the judiciary and the judiciary in the because some of the concerns that we are raising should probably be covered in the public association. But I think the physical enforcement is really helpful for us to actually understand the extent to which the Jewish community is actually trying to address some of the problems that are actually being raised now. And indeed, the whole issue of vacancy and borderlands is difficult to some level. This is what is happening in prison, how actually the sexual harassment is being affected at this time. But at the same time, when you talk about training and training, sometimes you remember there were two groups of people praying in front of court actually advocate for your training because maybe about the sexual offense or the training incident which will get into the community and actually the victims. It becomes problematic. But at the end of the day, I think what is most important is for us to really look at how we are doing for money for this amount of money that we have been a lot of money, 19 billion. And of course, maybe when one looks at also at creation, relationships are there, at least when we can say we can create it. Should be jobs for people who are on it. When the department comes here, I'll be very interested to know what they do with the land project. So I'm sure they have the land project. We haven't necessarily had an idea of how many of these exist for whatever cases they have in prison. And I think it might be a good idea for us to get that information. So that we know as to whether these veterans are actually dealt with. because they need to be the point that they're doing and the experience about the technology that needs to be used. I think my lecture is share that for the but at the end of the day, if there is corruption in the physics, I think the vicious circle, you can really report about how it is that we do the data and decide that the same thing still continue to check in the but you can't find the way you know how to do it or whatever, in a way to try to change our freedom. And also, I would want to know about the children population in the prison. Children are born in prison, how many do we have? And what do you do with them? I'm sure they need that. And just to know how many of our prison population is where the people are coming from Africa. And I will start the definition of the trauma that we have to say with Asian prisoners at least our relationship that we are actually able to create. So we need to have an idea. I'm not sure how we can end with this one for the information, but just to have an idea. Information of
there was some controversy when the Chief Justice addressed the meeting in Stellenbosch and referred to the relationship between law and religion, which I think was based on a misunderstanding. Nothing other than just a source of things. So you can simply talk about law and things if you don't want to use the law, the word religion. So in my view, there was nothing wrong with that. But you see, the legacy of apartheid, which is still with us, loss of respect for the self and respect for others. And therefore, it would be very difficult to separate obedience to the law from the socio-economic condition that our people find themselves in. So this whole notion of radical socio-economic transformation is very relevant to the transformation of the law itself. So law looks at this mechanical rules. We will never solve the problems that we have. But if you have a situation where the people themselves, where they live, accept certain standards and enforce them themselves, we can go a long way in addressing the problems that we have. So I think that we should really look at this question of community justice, community court. You know, for instance, we have established community policing forums. Now, when these people are caught in those forums, what do? You take them to the normal court that have been overcrowded and dysfunctional. So that's why I like the points that Professor is making. We should really also have to join meetings with the police, and we are working together with corruption, and look at these things politically. Maybe that will help us find a solution. But, you know, there are lots of things that happen in these communities. When these kids take that or take that, they no longer look at it as theft. They're just helping themselves because they are in need. Then you have more children in conflict with the law. Then you take those kids and they are awaiting trial. Can we end up in the last
moment? Yeah, sorry, that I'm making a second time. I think we should also demand to see more investment in restorative justice because it has been success cases. offenders feel alienated if they feel that they have offended against the state, that think against the backdrop of the social conditions that just articulated. It becomes removed from I harm the churches. It becomes I harm the state, and I'm entitled to what the state owes me. Conservative justice is a success case. Number two, I think we should demand to see this rehabilitation program. What is it? We talk about it. I mean, it's a program that exists, is it centralized, as a prison decides on following up its own? Because it looks to me like most of the time when they say rehabilitation, they talk about turning them into education, training, and development. What about the psychological and the other issues, and even the spiritual issues that you have just highlighted? And I think, thirdly, we should really advocate for, we should review our sentences. I mean, it is high, it has not worked anyway. To give a brief example, they're not wasting the time. African Americans at the moment are affected the prison population. It is normal to, in fact, they accept the effective ratio of prison, which means it's normal to have a grandmother, a father, and a son in different prisons in the country. The issue is so bad, they're even allowing death of children in prison. At least about 30% of African American kids are born in prison at the moment. So we don't want to get to that situation where we are breaking a prison population. And I'm extremely jealous because this is happening to Africans, mainly the African youth that is being translated into this hardened prison population at the moment because of our high mandatory sentences. So it has to be removed.
Actually,
I
don't remember, we don't have to demand, we have the authorities to ask them to bring them. So we just have to make sure that they bring them to
years that we've noticed 96% expenditure.
Security, upgrading of cars, and taking on three key areas, which is good governance. The good governance, that focus has paid off because it has been done qualified audit. Although obviously the funding funds still outstanding, and one of the challenges was the department itself submitted that the focus on good governance has cost in terms of it hasn't focused much on the focus of indicating the charge. 2014 completed 20 strategic objectives and 22 indicators. I think it was legal purposes, it's the court allocation, it's state law advisors, litigation, legal services, legislative development. It includes the master and constitution development program. Also shows from the degrees. The largest funding goes to the master's, followed by state litigation and legal services. There's been discussion about the transformation of state legal services. The State Attorney Amendment Act intended to kickstart the transformation. Not only does it apply to quite specific manual, but it also provides the minister to draft policy relating to issues such as regime. Although the department did request additional funding for the transformation process, so they did get this attention. But I'm not sure how they're going to fund. This is critical. The events have already identified state legal services, and it's important. The number of court judgments that have been quite critical of the services provided by the state attorney. Transformation is a fundamental issue, not just, I mean, the department that sets itself at a high target, a target court allocation of use, I think 75% to previously disadvantaged individuals. One of the challenges, though, is it's fine to increase the numbers, but what about the type of use? You'll find that numbers are increasing, but they're still not getting access. You know, PI is still not getting access to the groups that have the real money. So I think that's a challenge. The other issue that members have wished to raise to the Department of State is fair. The Department of Fair to Environment Policy is late and more of that. And it indicates that codes cannot be filled due to issues in respect of the occupation-specific dispensation. Now, occupation-specific dispensation was rolled out in 2007. So it's a bit concerning that 7 years down the line, there's still challenges with OSC. It's not clear what these challenges are. The whole point about OSC was to the department to try and retain their legally qualified staff so they can keep higher options just to try and make working for the department more lucrative. But it's, as I said, quite a concern that OSC issues are still a problem of preventing the department from making a point. Justice modernization is key for two reasons, because obviously within the department, modernization in terms of just rolling out the IT hardware, software, integrated case management programs, the department has problems with statistics. Because they had a better system of integrated case management system, and I think statistics would be easier to collect. But the other arm is also the integrated assessment project. So it's a significant allocation of 561 million there. 375 million goes to the criminal justice system with that project. 421 million is allocated to justice modernization. Now, I would say to members, please get together and ask the department. It's actually quite hard to delve down into exactly what the spending goes to. Not just criminal justice, which speaks to all the committees in the sector, correctional services, police, where that funding is going, what are the deliverables, but also in terms of justice modernization within the department. You know, do people have laptops? Do the systems speak to one another? Challenges, I think the previous portfolio committee was so concerned about integrated justice spending that they specifically asked the Auditor General to investigate it. So he's involved, and his team are involved in auditing the integrated justice project. Phase one looks at governance, and I think that's been completed, and our phase two is looking at value for money. There's also some challenges with the CETA, State Information Technology Agency. But that's one of my interests. Just general challenges then, I think I've covered it, just the transfer of OT of OCJ, transfer of court functions to OCJ, what will that mean for justice? The reliance on public works, on the understanding. The issue of the occupation specific compensation, I think there needs to be clarity on that. And then the budget constraints. Although the reprioritized funding did give departments